Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, let's try this again. Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 25th, and it is 7 p.m. Eastern. I just want to throw my mic up for a minute. I have a little bit of difficulty. It doesn't want to stay down. It keeps wanting to go up. Okay. I want to just kind of take a moment right from the get-go here to kind of send out our, I don't want to say best wishes, of course, our condolences to all the families in Uvalde, Texas, I believe is how you say it, for the loss of all their family members, all their children, and the two teachers that were shot also trying to protect the children, and the poor grandmother, you know, that had to sustain gunshot wounds to the head because of, you know, her deranged son, grandson. Something you can say about him. To go into an elementary school and shoot and kill 19 children and two teachers, you're deranged. And it's, you know, it's a good thing that he's dead, honestly, the way I look at it, for one reason only, because if it was me and it was my kids that was there at that school, I would want to get my hands on that dude and kind of take care of him in a different way than just, you know, being shot. And I think most of us would feel the same way. So it's like a very heavy heart talking about it because of the fact, you know, there is so many little kids. I mean, 10 years and under, most of them, I think, were. Was it the fourth grade, last day of school for the summer? It's just sad and to think that these people or this person, 18 years old, I will not say his name. For one, I can't remember it. And for two, you know, he doesn't need us to say his name. To be able to go out and do that, he was 18. He shot his grandma, just bought the guns just, you know, this month, they said. But to shoot his grandmother and then take her truck, wreck the truck, and go and shoot up an elementary school. Now, I did see where Governor Abbott said today, and that's the governor of Texas, that there was a post where he said he was going to first shoot his grandmother because they had a fight. And then two, he was going to go to an elementary school. And nobody believed the post that he had posted. Nobody actually believed what he was saying. And I think we see that a lot with kids nowadays, because all of this different social media, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, you know, and everybody sees this and everybody knows, you know, that there's these different challenges. What was it, the milk crate challenge? Climb for the highest peak. Seriously? The Tide Pods, you know, kids getting sick, killing them. It's like, how crazy can you be to actually do these things? And the parents not know it? I mean, yeah, granted, you know, my parents didn't know everything we did when we were growing up. But we didn't do half of what these kids do nowadays because social media was not a big platform then. Heck, I don't even think they had anything really social media-wise, you know, when, like I said, when I was growing up. But it's sad to see this, and it's, you know, it's even worse to actually have to talk about it. I didn't want to talk about too many other things because, yes, gun owners, we all know them. We have guns. Who doesn't have guns anymore? And if you don't, then you're against the gun law or having guns. That's your choice. I just want to know I'm protected if I need to be. But with that, it's
It's not the gun that causes the problem. As we know, this kid was 18. He had no previous interactions with the local police or anything like that. So we don't really know what happened, what made him go off the deep end. I mean, I've heard things that he was bullied growing up, but, you know, I also seen where they were talking to a lady that was actually friends with the family and knew them, knew the boy. And she stated right there in the thing that he didn't even complete high school. He dropped out and left school, you know, way before for whatever reason, you know. So, and it's, I don't know. I don't know what makes anybody want to go out and just start shooting kids or people in general. It's not right. I don't care who you are. If you think that is the right thing to go out and do, then you know what? Your family needs to actually step in and take control. You know, whether they go to the police and let them know, or they go and have you put in and committed somewhere in order to take care of those issues. So, it is kind of, we've had a lot of issues like this. I mean, here just recently, I believe it was in Texas also with the shooting at the Walmart down there. And this was, what, a couple years ago. And primarily Hispanic area. And that's like this little town. It was the same way. And we know Texas is a big, big gun state. Good. Governor Abbott, he's pro-gun. All of Texas is pro-gun. Most people that live in Texas is pro-gun. But we had the shooting up there in Connecticut at the grocery store. I'm pretty sure it was Connecticut. I may be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But there is a lot of places that have these issues. It's not, you know, one area more than others. I mean, granted, here where we live in Ohio, Youngstown is only like 35 miles from us. And there is always, always, I don't care what time of the day or week or whatever, there's always a shooting in Youngstown. Between Youngstown and Warren, and there's been a few in Sharon. So it's everywhere. And you don't always want to say it's gang-related. It's because of the gangs or the drugs and, you know, sometimes it's just because people get ticked. So now, you know, in Ohio, you don't have to go through and get a, go through and do the concealed carry classes. You can actually just go purchase a gun and carry a gun. You don't have to do the classes. You know, in some aspects, it may be good. Some aspects, it may be bad. I prefer everybody go through a gun safety class. That way, you know the ins and outs. Because there's things, I mean, Greg's got his book here when he did his, and I kind of browsed through it, and it's like, well, I never would have thought of that. But it's just little things that, you know, people learn. But it is hard to think of all those families. You know, they had a guy on that was talking about his daughter. She was just two days or three days past her 10th birthday. They don't know what to say to her three-year-old brother about what happened to his sister, because he asked about his sister every day. So what do you say to somebody like that? How, you know, it's kind of hard to talk to them and see what's going on with that, because, you know, it's just hard to talk to them. How can you tell your, you know, your three-year-old son that his big sister's never coming home? Okay. So, that's the sad part of the thing today, I guess. At least it is right now for me. It was, when I first heard that, Greg actually told me last night, and honestly, I was sleeping, so I kind of did and didn't hear him, because I didn't see it on the news because I fell asleep. So, which is okay, I guess. We had a busy day yesterday, even busier today. We actually, getting off the whole thing of the shooting of the children, you know, as soon as I hear from you guys and get some people in here asking some questions or voicing their concerns about it, that would be great too. You know, don't take it, you know, the wrong way. I do want to hear from everybody. But I do want to say, I just think we all need to actually, you know, hug our children, grandchildren just a little bit tighter tonight. Okay. So, but on a lighter note, how was your guys's, you know, Wednesday? What did you guys do today? Yesterday I started, because y'all know, you know, I put in a garden. And yesterday I started planting. I put plastic down, the vegetable barrier or flower barrier, whatever you want to call it. I put it down to plant my tomatoes and peppers and all that in it, because last year it's like, I just couldn't keep up with the weeds. So this year I decided I was doing that. So I got up there and got them all staked down, put down, got everything down, got those done. And then we had company, so I was, you know, talking with them and doing other stuff. And I go back up to start, and then I have a planter for the seeds. It's actually my dad's. Well, I go to put my beets in, and the planter's, you know, all plugged up. So none of my beet seeds are gone. I did the whole row. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I should have. And now they're really, really tiny, so they're hard to see. But I couldn't find them. So I was like, all right. So I got them all out. And I was kind of dropping them through, and I think I have more beets at one end than I do the other. We'll see how that turns out. But so I decided I needed to clean it. So I'm cleaning it out with a piece of wire, and Greg and I got everything out of it, and I washed it out good. And today it worked great when it came to my lima beans and my green beans. So, but that's what we did today. We finished planting the rest of my onions and sweet potatoes, and then we did the cucumbers, squash, honey rock melons, because I've never done those, I want to try them, and zucchini, naturally, because, you know, you have to have zucchini, because if you don't have zucchini, you can't have your zucchini bread or fried zucchini. So we did all that today. And then, now, last year I had a problem with deer and rabbits and groundhogs eating everything in the garden. They ate the tops off of every one of my green pepper plants, off my hot pepper plants. This year we put a stop to it. Hopefully, knock on wood, that we did. We put fence posts up, 5-foot metal fence posts, and we put up a fencer box and 3 strands of electric fence. Now, we weren't sure if it was working, because we have a solar fencer, and we've had it when we had our horses. Well, the fencer box said it was working, but our little tester that we have, we've had it since we had the horses, it did not work. So Greg got his multimeter out and went up and messed with it. And actually, we found that it worked. But Greg kept trying to get me to touch it. I've touched electric fence many, many times in my lifetime. I don't need to touch it again, because the fencer is for 5 mile. And we have right around 30 by 40 square, something like that, garden. So it's not too big, but it's just big enough. So, but we, you know, did all that. We put all the straw around everything, because I strawed everything good. Greg did all the tomato plants, and we both worked on the mounds for the viney plants. So when my rest of my stuff starts coming up, we're also going to be, you know, I'll be putting straw down for it, and just trying to keep everything covered more in straw, because for one, where our garden's at, up behind our house, and it's full sun all day long until, you know, about now when the sun starts going down. So we have a lot of sun. So then the sprinkler system I had that I had last year, we hated it. We both did. So I ended up going and getting different ones that actually reaches pretty much all the garden. So we did that. And then he said something about, I had to run over to town, and he said something about, he says, oh, that's when I went over to get the sprinkler. He's like, yeah, I need to get should get the grass cut. It's like, yeah, it's supposed to rain. We should do that. So I come home. He's on the ride mower up mowing the backyard or other property and around the shed and that, where we do all that. I was like, okay. So I went and got the push mower, did the front yard. And then I did the backyard. And then when it was done, I was, you know, kind of pilling around the house, and he finished up. And then he grabbed the weed eater, and he went out and started weed eating out in the back property, because we have these invasive type weeds that seem to never want to go away. They almost look like cane stalks. They're kind of big and round. So I'm not really sure what they are, but you can whack them down with the weed eater. So that's what we do. I mean, besides pulling them out by the roots, they're really hard to get rid of. I have tried using herbicide on them. So I'm hoping, you know, I may do it again now that we got them all cut down, go and do it. So we might do that tomorrow morning before it rains. But we also did, you know, like I said, got all that done. And then beside our walk coming up to our front door, there is stones on one side that kind of edges out the flower bed. Well, on the other side, Greg kept saying, well, we need to add them there so it kind of uniforms, looks good. So he decided, now this has been a year or so in the making to do this. And it's like, never have time, never take the time because we're always busy doing something else. So he went and got the tractor and a shovel and started digging it up and ultimately got that done. So by this time, it's 6 o'clock. So I come in, grab a shower. He comes in, he gets a shower. So about a quarter till I come down here, start getting everything set up. And then I realize, oh, crap, I'm doing something else. And it's like, oh, look, it's already 7:05. I better get on the radio. But, you know, that's how things go with us. We get summertime. It gets hard because when you're out here in the summer, it stays later or lighter, darker, lighter or longer. So we're outside doing more. And usually it's him over on the hill working on the truck. And he, you know, he has to do that. He's got to change the oil and, you know, a couple other little things. But I think he's going to go over tomorrow before it starts raining to get that done. So it's just one thing after another. And you guys all know how it is. You know, when you're off the road for, you know, you're on the road and you're out there all week long, you come home and it's like your weekends, you want to kind of just relax and not do anything. And but then you got this whole list of stuff that you need to get done. Well, when Greg was off for the couple months that he was home, we got a lot of stuff done. But there was still a lot of stuff we couldn't do because either A, it was either too cold quite yet, or B, it was doing nothing but raining. So it kind of comes like a catch-22 with that. You kind of do both. So you can't get everything done at once. So we do as much as we can when he is home and get things done. But right now it's kind of working to where he's home. So it makes it nice. We can actually get a few things done. He'll be home till, you know, sometime next week. Okay. So I did say that I wanted to talk about, you know, I'm going right back into the shootings and the desperate type things. And it's kind of, you know, like I said, hate to do it, but sometimes we got to do what we got to do. Okay. I wanted to talk also, let me see, I got to go find it here. Okay. I know. There was a shooting. Whoops. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Down in Tennessee. Okay. It was in... okay. Let me find it and tell you exactly. Only because I was kind of jumping through pages here. All right. Because I couldn't remember where I seen it at for sure. I thought it was in an email I got, but it was actually, I seen it on Facebook. Okay. I'm pulling it up because you guys probably have seen it too, but I just want to touch on it because, I mean, like I said, it's good that people carry, have their concealed carry, and they carry them with them for protection because, you know, in the truck, you never know what can happen. Now, this was in Kingsport, Tennessee. I'm going to adjust this so the camera might be a little bit weird now. Okay. Now, Kingsport is also where Robbie, okay, you tell him that one. Robbie says that Greg needs to get back to work. But anyways, Kingsport, Tennessee is where Taylor Barker lives. You know, and he's a good supporter of Redneck and I, so. But anyways, may have to get him on here and see if he, you know, what he heard about it. All right, it says, updated, truck driver shot and killed another truck driver after the tractor trailers they were driving came in contact with one another in Kingsport Friday, according to the Kingsport Police Department. Authorities responded to Interstate 81 northbound at exit 63 at around 4:45 p.m. Police said that two commercial truck drivers, 42-year-old Alex Eric Miller of Edgewood, Maryland,
and 34-year-old man, whose identity is not being released by police at this time, were each driving tractor trailers northbound on Interstate 81 approaching exit 63. Police said that the two moving tractor trailers came in contact with one another. The two drivers then pulled over to the side of the road. Police said the situation escalated and Miller was fatally shot by the other man. I see, and when I read that, I thought, you know, the 34-year-old was the one who was shot because they weren't releasing his name. So it was the 42-year-old Eric Miller that was Alex Miller that was shot. Okay. Authorities said that the shooter is cooperating with the investigation. Well, duh, he should, right? Okay. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to call the Kingsport Police Department Criminal Investigation Division at 423-229-9429 or the Kingsport Central Dispatch at 423-246-9111. Kingsport Police are investigating a shooter at Interstate 81. Okay. At exit 63, the Kingsport Police Department Public Information Officer Tom Patton says they responded to the exit ramp in reference to the shooting between two motorists around 4:45 Friday afternoon. He says it's an isolated incident and there is no reason to believe there is any danger to the public. And he says traffic is still flowing. You know, so right there, over and, you know, I can see it happening because from what I'm seeing, and I'm not playing the video because it's going to play and you guys are going to hear it. You're not going to be able to see it. So it's actually on my Facebook and I will share it over to our Redneck and Eyes page. But it's two dry vans. So really, you had to shoot somebody because you got too close and you bumped each other? You know, you can't see from the pictures or it might say more on the video. But I'm not sure exactly. Okay, I'm sharing it to our Redneck and Eyes page right now, so you guys can go there and see it if you like. Okay. I know I'm trying to multitask. Sometimes that gets me to where I... I'll lose my track of thought. Okay, so I am sharing that now, and you guys can find it there and rewatch the video or whatnot. But so right there, I mean, I know plenty of people that carry firearms with them in the truck, and it's not technically a federal law saying you can't. So don't let somebody tell you you can't. It's a company law. A lot of times companies won't let you do it, but don't be swayed from that because, you know, it's good to have the protection because a lot of times, you know, you could be out somewhere and you don't have that. So having a pistol with you once in a while does not hurt.
Hey, hon.
What?
You're looking for your water from the fridge.
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to let Greg know that I put his stuff in the fridge already, but he's after something else, so he went to the basement. And usually that involves food or, you know. And again, it could be the fact that I never put no paper towels upstairs, you know. So, anyways. All right. So right now, I mean, we're just kind of hanging out. And I want to take this opportunity to thank one of our sponsors, and that tonight at this time is DPF Regeneration. And here you go.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced. And DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
And that is with Miss Hattie Jane Rollins that owns that. And it's a family run and woman operated business. So, and she has been a great supporter of Redneck and I's for many years now. And we always love talking with Miss Hattie. We haven't had the opportunity to actually meet her in person yet, but we're hoping that's going to happen, you know, someday soon. So we shall see, because, you know, we all know how people's schedules are crazy all the time. You know, ours are here with what we do. So I can only imagine how she does it with everything on her end, running a business like she does. So, but anything y'all want to talk about? I mean, I can go over some different things that's going on in the trucking industry right now. Or we can just chit-chat. It's up to you. Because that's what I wanted to talk about, was just a few couple things with the shootings. With, it was mostly just because of the kids and just how awful it was, I should say. Okay. So let's see what is going on. That's trucker gear. Let's see. Okay, this ought to be an interesting thing here. It says, four ways to defend against high diesel prices. This ought to be interesting, right? With the cost of fuel skyrocketing, drivers will be looking to squeeze every ounce of fuel efficiency from their vehicles. As most drivers know, there are steps that can be taken when trying to stretch extra miles out of their diesel and keep more money in their wallets. A little effort can go a long way, and these are just some of the tips and tricks that can make a real difference when trying to decrease trips to the pump. Okay, first one, monitoring tire pressure. Underinflated tires decrease your fuel economy. For every one PSI, for every one PSI drop in pressure, your fuel mileage can be reduced by 3%. Properly inflated tires also have a longer lifespan, are safer on the road. Minimize idling. Only idle your truck when absolutely necessary. Just 10 seconds of idling wastes more fuel than simply restarting the engine. 1 hour of idling burns about a gallon of fuel. Turning off your vehicle is one of the easiest ways to save fuel and increase the life of your engine. Balance your load. Having a balanced load with proper weight displacement can make a dramatic difference. Whenever possible, look to have the weight evenly distributed to ensure the best results. Okay, and the last one here they have is use an additive. Another sure way to stretch your miles per gallon is to use a proven diesel fuel additive like our Diesel Defender. With the strength of a horde of Vikings, Defender uses unmatched IDX4 detergent to get off deposits and keep them from returning. Clean injectors allow for even spray patterns that prevent unburned fuel from being wasted. In fact, Defender protects your system so well that we guarantee a minimum of 5% improvement in fuel economy. This is significant savings when tanking up could reach $1.50. Huh? I think it's supposed to be $1,500 or more, because it says 1.500 or more. So I don't know. It's on overdrive, so we'll give it to them for their non-proofreading, I guess. Okay. Because that was under Trucker's Gear is where I found that from that. Let's see. Hi, Val. How are you? As soon as this comes up, there we go. He Here's something. I seen this the other day. I never thought nothing about it. But it's nice. It's a good thing that they're doing, that they did. This is Carrier's truck rep focuses on mental health and suicide awareness. So the owner of this truck, actually it's Keller Logistics Group located in Defiance, Ohio, recently unveiled a specifically wrapped truck reorganizing Mental Health Awareness Month in May. All Keller employees were asked what cause or organization they'd like to see represented on this. The second truck to recognize a social concern. So they must be doing this with all their trucks. The responses came back in support of either mental health or suicide awareness. The company decided to merge the two in the truck's design and support both initiatives. A lot of thought and research went into this, said Keller Trucking graphics designer Hayden Doerham. I think that's how you say it. It was a different thing to tastefully display in a design. It's a delicate subject matter and hits so close to home with so many people. I wanted to make sure to do it right. According to the company, the overall design features a two-sided ocean storm and beach landscape that signifies that there's no storm that can't be overcome or with help. And that, like life, what you see and feel will depend on your perspective. The truck has a two-part permit mission. The first is to donate a percentage of the revenue for every mile driven to local organizations related to the initiative. The second mission is to travel the country spreading its message of mental health and the conversation around it. The truck's first order of business is in support of One Step at a Time, a local organization. Keller Trucking will also be the title sponsor of the organization's annual 5-mile or 5K walk designed to promote mental well-being and raise suicide awareness. The truck will also make appearances at events such as in Defiance, Ohio, and surrounding areas. See, just like that, I mean, that's a great thing and that they're doing. And it's not, when you look at the truck, because there is a picture here, it's not too crazy looking. It's actually, you know, nice. So, but when we start putting our thing together for our truck show, this is someplace that we might reach out to them and ask them if they want to come and bring all their trucks that they have like this to display them at our truck show. I mean, there's another one here that did on May 3rd, you know, promoting Special Olympics. I don't know if this is the same company. Does not say. Let's see. No, this woman is a driver for a Wisconsin-based company. Recently received a new truck specifically wrapped to promote awareness for Special Olympics, and it's good too. It's, you know, not too overly done. It's nice too. It's very tasteful. You see some of these guys go out and get their trucks wrapped. And I'll just put this out there. And there's only certain people that know when I say this, like the ghost truck. That is, you know, it is good in a way, then sometimes it can be overly done. When you overly do something, it's just too much to see. And you can't, you know, some of the parts that you want people to pay attention to get lost in the shuffle. So you hate to see that type of thing happen. You want to be, if you're going to be doing it and getting a truck wrapped, you want to be able to see all the good parts too, and not just a chaos on the truck. If you're doing it for a purpose, you want to be able to see everything. Okay. Where was I at? All right. Look, I'm losing things on here. Okay. I know last week we talked a little bit because of, you know, road check inspections. How many of you guys actually got pulled over and got a full DOT? I know Holly told us that she did last week, because that was last week, right? Yep. I've got to look at the calendar because I lose days. So I'm just wondering how many people actually got hit with that, actually seen a lot or got pulled over and got checked. So give us a holler and let us know. I'm kind of curious to see how many of you guys actually got hit with that. Okay. Let's see what else we can find here. I know we've talked about it so much to where I think it's been talked to death. The proposal for the speed limiters. We all know how we all feel about those. Nobody wants them. The ones that do want them is the guys that don't have trucks that actually can go, I should say. But there is a big kickback from that. And a lot of people are fighting it, and they're still not wanting it. So we'll see how that goes. I haven't heard a whole lot more about it. Nothing's really changed besides the fact that there has been a lot of people, you know, that don't want it. Because right here it says 73% agree with the statement, meaning that it's going to be, you know, the statement is, will you leave the industry if speed limiters become mandatory? And 73% of people said yes, they would at the last straw, that it would be the last straw. 16%, no, I already have one activated on my truck. Another 11%, no, I'll just deal with it. I can tell you right now, if they start doing the speed limiters, you know, I know a few that would say that they would quit, but they're already running 90% of the time at 65. For one, you know, we get better fuel mileage for a lot of trucks. I'm not going to say all trucks. Will not say that because there is other ones that get better fuel mileage at different speeds, but the majority of them get better fuel mileage at 65. Okay. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's something. I know, I'm looking under, you know, women involved in trucking. Indiana Girl Scouts learn what it's like to be a truck driver. Now, they're in a simulator, and it has, you know, these kids all set up there and doing this. It's actually pretty, you know, there is a video too, but it says Cummins and Marvin Johnson Associates, two corporate members of Women in Trucking, whoops, earlier this month hosted a Girl Scout event in Columbus, Indiana, where the women trucking driver ambassador, Kelly Lynn McLaughlin, talked with the Girl Scouts about her career in the trucking industry and showed them her tractor and equipment. They also experienced a driving simulator and heard from engineers and other guests. At the end of the event, the Girl Scouts earned their transportation patch. Because that was one of the things that women in trucking, when I was doing it and being a part of it, was trying to get, was getting that to where the Girl Scouts could get a transportation pass or badge. You know, I know it's all about getting all the badges. I was never technically in Girl Scouts growing up. So I know it's a lot to do with the badges, and, you know, you want every badge you can possibly get because it promotes you further into Girl Scouts. I mean, it's nice now these young girls have actually seen what it's like to be in a truck and doing the simulator. And, you know, we all know the simulator is nothing like the real life, but still, it kind of helps these kids kind of learn what it's like to be out there doing this. It gives them a different respect. I think they need to put all their parents in too, and so the parents can see what it's like to be behind the wheel of a big truck. Because right now it's the parents that's having the problem. They can't drive around them. Let's see what else here. A lot of these news articles that I'm finding are older ones. Kind of what the deal is.
Okay.
Ah, this is always good. We always like this. Okay, we all know about the baby food shortage, you know, the formula shortage, I should say, precisely. Not so much canned food or something like it. It's all the baby formula, okay? Now, here it is. This was on the 25th. So today, FMCSA waives hours of regs for shipments of baby formula because we know they're shipping it in from overseas. So it says the Federal Carrier Safety Administration on Monday issued an hours of service waiver for haulers of baby formula and related manufacturing ingredients because they are opening the plant in Michigan. I can't remember. Abbott plant, maybe. But anyways, baby formula was already included in the COVID-19 emergency declaration that allowed for hours of service waivers for drivers transporting baby formula as a finished product. Monday's emergency declaration clarifies that hours of service requirements are temporarily waived for carriers transporting both baby formula and other ingredients used for production, such as corn syrup, casein, hydrolyzed protein, and whey. The waiver covers motor carriers hauling formula and its ingredients to either manufacturers, distributors, or stores. Baby formula has been in short supply since the FDA in February closed Abbott Nutrition's plant in Sturgis, Michigan, after four infants contracted bacterial infections from formula made there. President Biden last week invoked the Defense Production Act to increase baby formula production, requiring suppliers to direct ingredients to baby formula manufacturers as a priority. According to the FMCSA, by execution of its emergency declaration, motor carriers and drivers providing direct assistance to the emergency and direct support of relief efforts related to the baby formula shortage are granted a relief from the 49 CFR 395.3 maximum driving time for property carrying vehicles. Direct assistance does not include routine commercial deliveries. FMCSA says including mixed loads with a nominal quantity or of qualifying emergency relief added to obtain the benefits of the emergency declaration. To be eligible for the relief of the 49 CFR 395.3, the load must be related to the immediate duration of baby formula supplies. So, and we've seen them do this during hurricanes and stuff like that. We see that a lot when they do it then. So it's not the first time they've done this. They did it with the COVID, like they said, because of hand sanitizer and mask and all that type of stuff. So I think they should have cleaned the Sturgis plant up and had it reopened by now. That's my thoughts. Okay. Wow. This happened on 77, I-77. It says tractor trailer swipes fire truck near I-77 accident scene. Nope. I had to skip back a page here for a minute. Okay. All right. And this happened today. This tanker truck screwed up, let me tell you. Okay. This was a fire truck was heavily damaged Monday, May 23rd, when it was struck by a passing tractor trailer near the scene of an earlier accident on Interstate 77 in North Carolina. The Arlington Fire and Rescue from Jonesville, North Carolina reports one of its vehicles was dispatched to northbound I-77 in Yadkin County, west of Winston-Salem. It was assisting in traffic control when it was struck on the left side by a passing tractor trailer. The firefighter in the pumper tanker was transported to local hospital. The truck driver refused treatment. And it says northbound I-77 was closed for several hours. This is where it comes in the fact, you know, you need to slow down or move over or, you know, just do both during an accident scene, because that could have been a lot worse. You know, it could have been somebody standing right there. So, I mean, it's things like this that, just like this, a tractor trailer hit this tanker. I mean, literally the whole one side of the tank, because, you know, on the tank, on the fire trucks, they have down both sides, you know, the boxes and everything else. Well, this one is missing everything on one side. I mean, it's totally gone. So it's crazy to see how little regard people have to the safety of others around you. And I'm not saying it's every driver, but there is a large quantity of drivers that, you know, and not just big truck drivers, not truck drivers, you know, people that drive cars, you know, every day they do the same thing. They don't pay attention and driving down the road. And most of the time you guys see it when you're in the truck. You can see where they're sitting there, you know, texting on their phone and looking down, or, oh, heaven forbid, watching TV while they're driving down the road. Seen that in a big truck. So, and I don't go out as much as I used to in the truck. And if I see it, I know everybody else sees it. Oof, this is probably a mess to clean up. This happened yesterday. Okay. It says, briefly, one crash spills hot dog filling. Another dumps a wind turbine tower. Ugh. You know what? I don't think I'll ever eat hot dog again after looking at this picture. Yeah. Okay. Tractor trailer crash on Interstate 70 in Rostrover, Pennsylvania, on May 20th, spilling more than 7 tons of hot dog filler on the highway. Police said McKinley Lechald, 30, of Laurel, Delaware, was westbound near Mile Post 43 at 6:40 p.m. when he lost control of the truck, drove off the right shoulder of the highway, and crashed. The highway was reduced to one lane until 11:30 p.m. while first responders cleared the debris. The state police said their investigation found the 2004 Freightliner had multiple brakes that were completely inoperable. Sheesh. The child and a passenger, Robert Gillies, 42, also of Laurel, Delaware, were treated for minor injuries at the scene and refused transport to the area hospital. In another unrelated crash, Highway 47 in Colorado was shut down for about 10 hours on Sunday, May 22nd, after a tractor trailer hauling a piece of a wind turbine overturned, spilling the load. The accident happened in Pueblo, Colorado, on U.S. Highway 50, U.S. Highway 50, Colorado Highway 47, at around 8 a.m. According to the KOAA News, the truck was heading eastbound on the highway near the Interstate 25 off-ramp in Dillon Drive when the truck overturned, knocking the piece of the wind turbine off the trailer. A crane and a second truck were used to remove the piece of the tower. The highway was closed for almost 12 hours. Oh, let's see. Yeah, I don't think we want to hear anything about J.B. Hunt, right? No. Okay. Let me see what else is there. I don't want to talk about J.B. Hunt. Oh, excuse me, guys. It's been a long day. Very busy day. Wow. Okay, here's another one. This is sad, but we're gonna, and it shows of another video. It says trucker dies in crash of two trucks from the same company. Yeah, Robbie, that is scary, right? Okay, a truck driver died in the early morning hours on May 20th when his truck collided with another from the same company for which he drove. This is in your neck of the woods, Robbie. The Arizona Department of Public Safety reported three tractor trailers from the same company were northbound on Interstate 17 near Phoenix at about 4 a.m. One of them had mechanical problems and came to a stop in the lane of the highway. The second truck from the same company pulled over and its driver tried to help first. The third truck from the company could not stop in time, swerved, but still struck the second of two trailers of the first vehicle. The driver of the truck died at the scene. Northbound I-17 was closed today, as were the eastbound and westbound loop 101 to northbound I-17 on ramps were also closed. And it says the police were continuing to investigate. It's like, wow. Okay, let's see. There's a couple comments here. Don't see many comments. TB saved lives. Cell phones and texting takes lives. In the event described, a shout out to others would have made a difference. Yep, you're right. Probably would have. Yeah, Greg. May have been Swift. Who knows? It does not say the name of the company. Another post says, very sad. God bless all families, friends, and all others of victims. God bless all emergency personnel. And the list goes on. All are in my prayers. Yes, Val, you're right. We are losing way too many drivers over stupid stuff like that. Again, that's another one of those driving, you know, too fast for the conditions or too close for the conditions. Anything like that could cause that problem. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's a section I never really looked at. Okay. Now, this is from April 1st of 2021. This is this email that I get. It's on Trucker News, and it has many different – and that's where I get most of my little stories that I tell you guys about, because I don't see a lot of these on Facebook. I see them. This is the only place I ever see them. It's got Truck News, Jobs, Gear, How-To, Life, Videos, as She Drives. This is under the How-To, and it is a worst – it says, as worst seasons for tornadoes approaches, here's how to stay safe on the road. Again, this is from April of last year. You know, it's kind of the same concept, because everybody's going to see this, you know. A lot of you guys are going to run across a tornado warning or tornado siren that you're going to have to deal with. Okay, it says, tornadoes pose a serious danger to anyone caught in their path, but especially to truck drivers who are constantly on the road and may have difficulty finding shelter in time. By far, the safest thing to do is to stay off the road until the severe weather passes. But tornadoes are unpredictable and driving schedules are demanding, so knowing how to remain safe in such conditions is essential. Because understanding tornadoes and the weather conditions in which they appear is the first step towards safety during the height of tornado season. Different areas have different peak seasons, so be mindful when you're traveling. Knowing what times of the years are most favorable, you start to see some of those signs, the heavy rain, the intense rain, some gusty winds, some large hail. That's a sign that thunderstorm is very significant. And it could be that storm that produces a tornado, says John DeBlock, warning coordinator and meteorologist for National Weather Service. Know the weather before driving into it and be sure to check constantly along your route by listening to local radio or the NOAA weather radio to be alert of tornado watches and warnings. Now, a lot of people get them on their phones, too, so that might be one thing to see if you don't at least try to get that.
Okay, it says, I believe some of the truckers' radios have that band on there. They can listen to whatever, whichever is closest to the NOAA weather radio transmitter is being broadcast, the Blanc said. He also recommended avoiding listening to the internet radios that do not play local weather alerts. Yeah, like XM, right? The Blanc also said that are social media tags that truckers can follow in order to get notified and alerted for tornadoes and other inclement weather. Alerts are given to for counties, not cities, so drivers should be aware of the name of each county along the route. Can you guys even know all the counties along your route? I don't know. It'd be kind of hard to keep track of all of them. There are two signs to listen for, a tornado watch and a tornado warning. With a simple way to know the difference from each other. A tornado watch means the conditions in the area are favorable to the formation of a tornado, which means drivers should watch for things to get worse. A tornado warning means one has been spotted in the area, which means the driver has been warned about the imminent danger. If at all possible, truck drivers should postpone driving until the weather clears up. Company drivers should contact the right personnel and see who monitors the weather conditions and what methods are in place to ensure driver safety on the road. Okay. While the NOAA or local radio gives important and timely updates, the sky is the true indicator. During the day, look for strong constant rotation in the clouds base. Whirling dust or debris under a cloud base, as sometimes tornadoes have no funnel. Loud and continuous rumbling, unlike thunder, which appears after a few seconds, and heavy rain or hail followed by a sudden calmness or a quick intense wind shift are also signs of a tornado. Okay, at night it's more difficult to see tornadoes, so in addition to the audio cues, look for bright flashes of ground level near a thunderstorm. This indicates that an incredibly strong wind are snapping power lines. The flashes will differ from lightning, which is up in the clouds. Lightning can also be useful for watching for signs of tornadoes, as it will illuminate the cloud base and show if it is presently lowering or not. Drivers need to seek shelter immediately when these signs are spotted. Okay. Any FEMA storm shelters as well, constructed buildings such as hotels, restaurants, gas stations, rest stops is a good place to stay. Drivers can research possible shelter locations prior to getting on the road using an online map service. Okay. We all know kind of where to and where not to go with a tornado, but how many people are going to be able to get their semis off the road into a secure location and be able to go and find shelter? I don't know of many places. Then it goes on to, it says worst case options. Should other safer shelters be unavailable, the first is staying in the truck, crouching low on the floor to avoid any glass fallout. The second is getting out of your truck and getting into the lowest point of a ditch and covering your head. He said it may also be possible to drive away from a tornado seen in the distance by driving at a right angle. Overpasses are not safe areas for shelter during a tornado. Many of those structures are built without girders, providing any type of crawl space, and an area above a true ground level will leave a person susceptible to higher wind speeds and more hot flying debris. Furthermore, the overpass can cause a tunnel effect, and the wind increasing speed, and as the tornado passes an overpass and is directly in its path, wind direction can change 180 degrees as the vortex passes. And it goes on to say, do not park under an overpass that is constrained area that the wind actually will flow faster underneath. Furthermore, if people park underneath the overpass, you can block traffic and hinder the first responders in their response to the storm.
Okay. All right. This goes on and on and on. So I'm not going to keep reading all that because it's just, we all know if you're out there on the road, you're not going to stop and, you know, yeah, you may go park somewhere, mind you, because it's, you know, kind of a good thing to do. So you're not out in there and something happening to you while you're trying to outrun the storm, per se. You know, we hear a lot about these true angels of the road. Okay. Here is another one. This guy, let me see. Truck driver's efforts to rescue, I'll tell you what it is here. Trucker named a true angel after rescuing mother and child from a crash. Okay. It says the truck driver's efforts to rescue a mother and her child from a severe collision earned him recognition from a national trucking organization. Truckload Carriers Association recently named Christopher Height from Mesa, Arizona, a highway angel for rescuing a trapped mother and her baby following an accident with another tractor trailer. Height drives for Milton Truck Lines based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It says, and this is the article about it, it says, in the fall of 2021, Height was driving late one afternoon on Highway 35 in Texas between Laredo and Dallas, when suddenly he noticed a truck strike the back of a car ahead of him. There was a tire in the road, and Height believes the car swerved to miss the tire but unsafely veered into the truck's lane. I saw a big ball of dust, and then it cleared. I saw a car that was smashed completely, Height said. Without a moment to spare, he safely pulled his truck over to the shoulder to offer assistance. The truck that hit the car also stopped. Height recalled that the fellow truck driver was able to maneuver out of his cab as he suffered no injuries. The car that was hit by the truck had extensive damages in the rear. The truck was actually pushed up against the driver's seat, said Height. Inside all that, there was a baby in there. Height said the driver, the baby's mother, suffered some injuries, but was able to climb out of the car once Height peeled back pieces of metal. She was screaming, adamant about the status of her baby boy in the back seat. I jumped over there and started trying to get the baby out, said Height. We started peeling the metal back and stuff off the roof and all around. After what seemed like hours, Height and another bystander were able to retrieve the baby from the car and place him in the arms of his mother. The only visible injury the child had was a bloody lip. Once the mother was reunited with her baby boy, she held up the child to show the truck driver that he was okay. The driver fell down to his knees and started crying, and I started crying, said Height. So I'm assuming that was the driver that hit the car. When it comes to kids getting hurt, I just can't deal with it. Thankfully, neither the mother nor the child suffered severe injuries. Height is the father of six children and has been driving a truck for around 8 months when the accident took place. They need help, Height said, about why he stopped. I hope someone helps me if something like this happens to me. PCA presented him with a certificate, patches, lapel pin, and truck decals. The company also received a letter acknowledging him as a highway angel. Since the program's inception in August of 97, nearly 13,000 professional truck drivers have been recognized as highway angels for their exemplary kindness, courtesy, and courage that they display while on their job. It's good. So after, you know, this week with the shootings, that was actually a good pick-me-up. And like I said, that happened last year, but still. It's always nice to see things like that. And I know we've talked about them a lot on here about the highway heroes. So But it is nice to see it once in a while. Let's see. Have any other pick-me-up stories here we can talk about? These are all highway angel stories, I should say, that I'm looking at right now. And some of them it's like, okay. We talked about that one. A trucker extinguishes car fire, recognized for his efforts. That's good. He put a car fire out. Perfect. That's why we carry the fire extinguishers, right? It says CFI driver honored for helping six victims in a chain reaction. Another one is ABF freight driver honored for aiding older couple in late night accident. Okay. Let's see what that one is. Okay. New Mexico trucker is being praised for aiding an older couple who had been in an accident during a cold evening in February. The Truckload Carrier Association recently named Leslie Lagone from Albuquerque a highway angel for discovering and coming to the aid of an elderly couple after their car crashed in 22-degree weather in the middle of the night. On February 18, Lagone, an ABF freight system driver, was driving on Interstate 10 around 1:55 a.m. near Winslow, Arizona, when he noticed some debris that looked to be scattered clothes and personal belongings alongside the highway. Concerned there may have been an accident, Lagone pulled over, walked towards the debris, and noticed headlights that were very dim off the side of the road down an embankment. I grabbed my flashlights, my phone, said Lagone, as I walked up there, there are people inside the car. An elderly couple was inside the vehicle. The woman was trapped, so the man stayed in the vehicle to keep her company. Lagone contacted emergency services and assisted the situation. The man said he was all right, but the woman was in pain and their phone was dead, so they could not call for help. As I'm walking around the car talking to 911 lady, I notice behind the front seat of the car, it's gone. There's nothing there. Lagone shared with the TCA. It's like it had been cut in half. Lagone went up to the road and guided the arriving emergency vehicles to the accident scene. Emergency personnel attended the couple and told again, the couple reported that whatever hit them had one headlight and struck them from behind, which is how they ended up off the road. When the fire department personnel noticed a truck down the road that had pulled over with front end damage, so they apprehended the driver who had fled the scene of the accident. Had the gun not stopped, the debris investigated the scene and discovered the elderly couple in the crashed car in 22 degrees, whether in the middle of the night, the consequences could have been much worse. Wow. They presented him with the same thing. The certificate, patches, lapel pin, truck decals, the company was received a letter. So, you know, sometimes just taking that extra minute to check and see all that stuff that's on the side of the road, especially if it's a lot of stuff, if it's a couple pieces of clothing here and there, okay, maybe not. But that was a lot of clothing and debris that he noticed that caused him to stop and pull over and check it out. Because if he wouldn't have done that, that poor couple could have, you know, been deceased. So, I mean, it's actually good when we got drivers that actually take the time out and do that type of stuff. So, and then you have drivers that don't do it. They don't care. They just keep on driving down the road, not pay attention to nothing, you know, because they're too busy looking at their phones or, you know, watching their TV, whatever the case may be. And we all know it happens. We've all seen it happen. So it's not like it's something new that people don't see. It happens all the time, and people know it. The cops know it, but they don't do anything about it, which, you know, is crazy. You think they would actually do something about it, but no, let's not worry about it.
Oh, and I keep getting some... Don't worry, it's flopping around. I have a feeling that has something to do with a cat. She likes to play with things. But I'm not going to mention what cat that is. Because actually, I got on her the other day because she was actually trying to chew on my mic. So anyways, sorry. I had to adjust that and fix that because it would drive me nuts. I couldn't figure out why it kept moving on me. Okay. So, what are you guys going to talk about now? Okay, let's see what else we can find here. Oh. Let's see. I'm looking for other things that I can really can get out there and talk about. Okay, so you all know that we are planning this truck show for July of 2024. So I'm still trying to put things together and come up with some different things that we can do. It's been kind of a long process, and it will be a long process because of there's so many things that we can do, and we have such a big range that we can do a lot of different things that we want to do that you don't see at a typical truck show. So, because we're going to be having a which I got to talk to them about, but we will be having a couple dunk tanks, and they're going to be, you know, kind of like a fundraiser thing, donation type thing, you know, half of everything raised, or, you know, even all of it raised off of the dunk tanks can go to a, you know, a nonprofit, or we can do something along the lines of getting people to vote on a trucking family or send us letters about, you know, a trucking family in need, I should say. And then we can take, you know, whichever one sends us the, you know, the essays that we can go over and discuss. These are just different things that I've been throwing around that I've been thinking of that I've been, you know, wanting to know if that would work. And I haven't seen it done before, so it's kind of one of those things I'm not real sure. So I kind of would like people's ideas on it. And what better way to do that is by getting some of you guys out there to give us an idea of what you think. So... All right, I want to take a few minutes here, and we are going to talk about one of our other sponsors, and that would be Load to Ride out of Colorado.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
So, that is Load to Ride. They have many different aspects to their company now. I know Holly was telling us that they've actually expanded a lot of things, so, which is good. They're actually branching out to other, you know, parts of the industry of things that they can do, which right now with the price of freight and everything else, it's actually kind of good that the way that they're kind of
you know, working on other things too to kind of bring in more freight for their drivers to keep their drivers up and running. Do you ever have that time where you just don't have anything to talk about? That would be me. I wanted to, you know, talk to you guys a little bit about what happened with, you know, the shooting of the poor little children, you know, and we've done that. So I don't know. I don't know what else to talk about, guys. So do you all have anything you want to talk about? Because if we don't have anything to talk about, I'm not going to sit here and keep talking to myself. You know, because it's just no fun to sit here and talk to yourself. I can't even get my dog to talk to me. So, may end up closing down just a little bit early tonight, which is fine because I'm tired. I still haven't eaten dinner yet. Because by the time we got in, we got everything done. Like I said, I went and took a quick shower so I could be on here with you guys. So it does, I am a little tired. But then again, that's how I was last night too, and literally was, I couldn't even tell you what time we went to bed. We went to bed pretty early last night, but didn't matter because I was out anyways. I just remember Greg telling me to shut the TV off because we turned the TV on upstairs so that we could, you know, watch TV or at least watch the news. But I think that's what I'm going to end up doing tonight because it is, you know, I don't want to say it's too late because it's what, almost 8:30? Yeah, we'll close down at 8:30 tonight. I don't like doing that. I like to keep you guys on the whole 2 hours, but I'm not going to stay here the whole 2 hours. And I've done a good part for an hour and a half so far, and so it's all good. I don't have a problem with that. So, but I do want to just tell everybody, you know, with Memorial Day coming up, you know, we got to remember what the day is actually for. It's not so much to go out and have big old picnics and, you know, goof off and be happy for the day, you know, because it is actually there is a reason for the Memorial Day and the why we have it is to reflect on all the people that actually gave their life for our country and for the freedoms that we have now today. And whether that be in the last war back, you know, in Afghanistan and Iraq for, you know, 20 odd years, or World War One or Two, or the Korean War, Vietnam, you know, all of those, it doesn't matter how far back you go. That is the day that we need to stop and reflect on that. I know I had a couple family members that was in the service and I didn't lose them there. You know, my grandfather, my dad's dad was in World War II. You know, he didn't die there. He made it home, but still, you know, he was a veteran. He is a veteran. You know, he's deceased now, but still. And my great grandfather was also in World War One. World War II, I don't remember. I'm not real sure, to be honest with you. So, but it's a time for us to just sit and reflect and take this weekend coming, because a lot of you guys will be home a little bit longer, and reflect on all of that. But then also think about all the children that we lost just yesterday. You know, those 19 children, all under the age of 10, I'm going to say,
I could be wrong, but that's the future of the country right there. And there was 19 of them from Lost. Now, I don't want to say that is, you know, I never want to say that what he did was right, because we all know it was so far from being right. But that patrol, that border patrol, which he was with a special elite team, I guess, him being the one to take him down was good, because the kid had bought, you know, Kevlar armor. He didn't want to be taken. If he wanted to go out by suicide by cop, why have the armor? Same way with the one that did the shooting at the store. Why have the armor if that's what, you know, they all say they wanted to go out by, you know, suicide by cop. But why do you got the armor on for? If that's what you really want, take it off. They showed a video where he was actually going in the back door at the school. You know, I know a lot of schools have actually, you know, since they, you know, the Sandy Hook kid, Columbine was quite a few years ago. Sandy Hook was, what, 10 years now? But still, they've taken a lot of better measures for people getting into the schools. I know I went and picked my nephews up. Actually, I take it back to one of them, Chase, and this has been years ago. And he was still in grade school. And I went out to pick him up because, you know, my sister couldn't get out of work and they couldn't get old Jesse and he wasn't feeling good, so I went and picked him up. Anyways, I had to take my driver's license to show him who I was, because they told, my sister said, my, you know, gave him my name and everything, this is who's going to be picking him up and blah, blah, blah. But they had to take a copy of it, and I wasn't allowed in the door, you know, until, you know, because you couldn't just open the door and walk in, which is good. I think all the schools need to be like that. But my high school, when I went to school, it was, you know, I graduated in 94. So all the doors were open. You know, they didn't have no doors locked. Heck, we didn't even have AC half the time that wanted to work right. I mean, we had it, but still it was not the best of AC, I should say. So the doors were always open and people came in and out all the time. You know, we were in a work program, so we left at noon. But, yeah. So take this weekend over Memorial Day and reflect on the loved ones that you lost during all the different wars, whatever war they may have been in, whether they were, you know, killed in action, or if they actually made it home and then passed, they still, you know, you still have to remember them. And say a little prayer for all the families that lost all their young children this week. Because let me tell you, losing a child is a very rough thing. It doesn't matter how old they are or how old you are when it happens. It's always rough. So this is going to bring us to kind of a close for the night. Since, like I said, I just, you know, I'm closing it down a little early now only because, you know, it's been a long day. So I want to say thank you again for all of our supporters. DPF Regeneration, LTR, Load to Ride, and then we also have Trucker Tools. And Trucker Tools is a app that you can download from Google Play Store or from Apple Store. Check them out. Pretty good app. Helps you, you know, find loads, places to park, stuff like that. And also, check out our website.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.
Okay, so like I was saying, check out our website, check out our Facebook page, our Twitter, Instagram, TikTok now, I guess. So, all right, until next week,
We'll be here again next week at 7 p.m. Eastern. And you can find Ed Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 7 p.m. And you can try also, these are all Eastern, mind you. And you can also check him out again on Sunday for a two-hour show at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, Redneck and Eyes Radio. The number to call in is 515-602-9731. Option one to be part of the conversation. And on Wednesday, on Sunday's night's call or show, Ed will not be doing the show on Sunday night because of he is traveling up to be with family. So he will not be doing the show Sunday night. And I believe Greg and I will be doing it Sunday night. So definitely need to call in because he will be my co-host for the night. So we all know how that's going to turn out. So that is Sunday, the 29th, right? Yes. So talk to you guys all soon. You all be safe out there. And have a good night, guys. Have a great weekend. And make sure to always redneckanize if you got to.
Just always remember, when everything goes wrong and the job still got to get done, you got to redneckanize.
All right, guys. I will talk to you all soon. Night now.